tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimension of Islamic Life. And in today's program, we are going to discuss blessings of the great Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. And inshallah azawajal, before we discuss his biography, let's first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment would be the one who would have recited the most durood upon me. So let's recite together Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, here we are discussing the biography of the great Ashiqi Rasul, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti al-Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was a great devotee of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a great scholar of Islam and a reviver of Islam, subhanallah, of the 9th century. And Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, Mullah Ali Qali Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, and various other scholars have endorsed and recognized him as the Mujaddid and the reviver of the 9th century. And Imam Jalaluddin himself, he Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, has mentioned in his book that he had strong hope from Allah Almighty that he is included amongst the revivers of Islam in the 9th century Hijri. Subhanallah. So this great scholar of Islam, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in his young age, subhanallah, the way he came to this world, and his title is Ibn al-Kutub at the same time, the one who is surrounded by books. Ibn al-Kutub, in a literal sense, it may seem to you that it means the son of books, but rather in metaphorical sense, it means that a person who's surrounded by books. And there is a great background behind his title, Ibn al-Kutub. It is that his father, he was a great scholar of Islam and he had a library. And when Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was still in the womb of his mother and she was pregnant with him, he told her to get some books from the library. As she went into the library and she was heavily pregnant, at that time she went into labor while she was in the library among the books, subhanallah. And this is one of the reasons, as Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh is referred to as Ibn al-Kutub, even in the literal sense, because he was born in a library. And his father was a great scholar and he encouraged his son from the very tender age of 3 years old. He started taking him to the mahafil, to the gatherings of the ulama. And at the age of 3, he took him to the gathering of Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala, whom we know as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, who is the great commentator of Sahih Bukhari, Fathul Bari. He has penned and authored, subhanallah, and he was a great muhaddith, and he had a great reach in the field of hadith, subhanallah. He was an authority of the time. And Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was blessed to be in his company at the very tender age of 3. As a 3-year-old boy, his father used to take him to him, to this great muhaddith and to the awliya ikram and the pious predecessors. So yes, we also should learn a lesson from this and associate ourselves and our offspring with the predecessors, with subhanallah, the great scholars of Islam and the awliya Allah of the time. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. Dear viewers, we have a wonderful kalam that is Yaad-e-Nabi ka Gulshan Mehka. by our brothers Hassan al-Tari and Ashfaq al-Tari. Subhanallah, this duet will recite the beautiful naat of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go and listen to the naat, and afterwards we'll continue with our today's subject of discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے
محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
نام محمد کتنا میٹھا میٹھا لگتا ہے نام محمد کتنا میٹھا میٹھا لگتا ہے پیارے نبی کا ذکر بھی ہم کو پیارا لگتا ہے پیارے نبی کا ذکر بھی ہم کو پیارا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
لب پر نغمے صلی علی کے ہاتھوں میں پرچم لب پر نغمے صلی علی کے ہاتھوں میں پرچم سرکار کا منگتا کیسا لگتا ہے دیکھو تو سرکار کا منگتا کیسا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ایسا لگتا ہے
آنکھوں میں مازاغ کا سرما سر طہٰ کا تاج آنکھوں میں مازاغ کا سرما سر طہٰ کا تاج کیسے کہوں رحمت والا ہم جیسا لگتا ہے کیسے کہوں رحمت والا ہم جیسا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
غوث کتب ابدال کلندر سب اس کے محتاج غوث کتب ابدال کلندر سب اس کے محتاج میرا داتا ہر داتا کا داتا لگتا ہے میرا داتا ہر داتا کا داتا لگتا ہے
yeah. نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے، محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے۔
اودنا کی سیج سجی ہے عرش بری پہ، ادنا کی سیج سجی ہے عرش بری پہ، آج حق کا دلارا باندھ کے صحرا دولہا لگتا ہے، حق کا دلارا باندھ کے صحرا دولہا لگتا ہے۔
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے، محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے۔
اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات آؤ سنائے، اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات، ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے، ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے۔
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے، محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم۔ ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز، سبحان اللہ، اینڈ ناؤ وی آر بیک اگین ڈسکسنگ دی بایوگرافی آف دس گریٹ امام، امام جلال الدین السیوطی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ۔ دیر از اے گریٹ میریکل دیٹ واز مینشنڈ بائی دا سروینٹ آف امام جلال الدین السیوطی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ، ہوز نیم از سیدنا محمد بن علی حباک رحمہ اللہ تعالی۔ ہی ریکالز دیٹ ون ڈے ایٹ دا ٹائم آف سیستا، امام جلال الدین السیوطی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ سیڈ ٹو ہم دیٹ اف یو ڈو ناٹ ریویل دس سیکرٹ بیفور آئی ڈائی دین آئی ہیو این انٹینشن ٹو offer Asr Salah in Makkah, and they are in Egypt. And then the servant says that I agreed to keep it a secret. Then he took my hand and told me to close my eyes. After taking approximately 27 steps, he told me to open my eyes. After I opened my eyes, I saw that we were at the gates of Jannatul Mawla, subhanallah, the blessed cemetery in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and where they visited the graves of Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, and the graves of Sayyidina Fuzail bin Iyad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala, and many more pious predecessors, subhanallah. Now he says that after that we entered the haram, performed the tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, and drank Zamzam water. And he says that then we sat behind Maqam Ibrahim and performed Asr Salah there. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he then said to him that, do not be surprised, for the earth has been folded for us. You can come with me if you want, or you can come back with the hajis and the pilgrims that are there making the Hajj of the Holy Kaaba. Meaning, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala wanted to return back to Egypt from Makkah Mukarramah, and he told him that if he wanted, he gave him the options that he could come with him, or if he wanted, then he could rather go back to Egypt in the company of the Hujjaj that will leave and go back to Egypt. So the servant says, I decided to go with him, and we went to the gates of Jannatul Mawla, same place where they had arrived. And then he told me to close my eyes again. And when I did close my eyes, he took me through 7 steps quickly. Then he told me to open my eyes. And we found ourselves back in Egypt. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the great miracle of this great Imam and the devotee of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We know and love him and revere him as the erudite scholar of Islam, Hazrat Allama Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. His name is Abdurrahman, subhanallah, and this is the name given by his father. Abdurrahman, subhanallah, is such a great name. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recommended that the two names that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are Abdullah and Abdurrahman, subhanallah. And then from all the respected scholars that have lived, the Mujaddid of the 9th century, Hafizul Hadith, his title is also Hafizul Hadith, meaning the one who has memorized over 100,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a person qualifies to be called a Hafizul Hadith. We have heard Hafizul Quran, and we generally refer to those who have memorized the Holy Quran as Hafizul Quran, because they have memorized the entire Quran. And those individuals who memorize at least 100,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam together with the chain of transmission, they are known as Hafizul Hadith. And people also, ulama also, have referred to Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala as Khatamul Huffaz, meaning the seal of all those who have become the Huffaz of the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's also referred to as Shaykhul Islam. And as we know, his title is Jalaluddin. And As-Suyuti is with his nisbat to his hometown where he was born, Usyut, either As-Suyuti or Usyuti. And Shafi'i, he's also, subhanAllah, attributed to the madhab of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in the school of jurisprudence of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala, that he would follow. He was Shafi'ul Madhab, therefore he is known as a Shafi'i. And he is amongst those who wrote the most Islamic books, subhanAllah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is among those scholars of Islam who has written most of the Islamic books. And he was born after Maghrib Salah in the year 849 Hijri in Cairo, Egypt. He is also known as Ibn al-Kutub, which we have just mentioned, subhanAllah, and the incident behind his title being Ibn al-Kutub. His name is Abdurrahman, and his famous appellation is Jalaluddin, which was given to him by his father. He is more famous by his title than he is by his name. And his laqab is Abu al-Fadl, subhanAllah, which was given to him by his teacher. One day his Shaykh, Qadi Izzuddin Ahmad bin Ibrahim al-Kinani al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala, he asked him, "What is your laqab? What is your title?" The Imam replied, "I do not have one." And so, writing it down with his own hand, the Shaykh said, "Your laqab is Abu al-Fadl." Subhanallah. The Imam was a follower of the Shafi'i school of thought, and which is why a Shafi'i is attributed towards the end of his name. The forefathers of Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala lived in the city of Usyut. And this is why he is called Suyuti or Usyuti. And he wrote a book regarding the city's history, and he named it Al-Madbut fi Akhbari Suyut, subhanAllah. His grandfather was a great saint of Allah, great wali Allah, and many people visit his grave in Usyut. His forefathers were respected people of the city, and some of whom were wealthy businessmen. They donated land and built an Islamic seminar in Usyut. But his father made the greatest contribution to the Islamic knowledge, subhanAllah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala, his father, his name was Abu Bakr. Therefore, when Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala's name is written in full, you will see the pattern that is Imam Jalaluddin Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr Suyuti al-Shafi'i, subhanAllah. And this is how his full name is written. And his father was Abu Bakr Kamaluddin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He recited the Holy Quran daily and completed the recitation of the Holy Quran on every Thursday, subhanAllah. He also taught fiqh at Madrasa Shaykhuniyah, and he delivered sermons in Jami ibn Tulun. And he was the Imam appointed by the Abbasid Caliphate, who respected him greatly, subhanAllah. And one day the ruler of Egypt requested through the Khalif that the father assume the position of Grand Mufti of Egypt, a position he declined. And Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala was 5 years old when his father passed away on Monday 5th of Safar in the year 855 Hijri. And he passed away at the time that the Isha Adhan was being called. His father was diagnosed with the Dhatul Jamb, which is a disease called in Arabic, in English we know is as pneumonia. And he attained a death of martyrdom, subhanAllah, in this way. Because the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the one who passes away because of pneumonia is a martyr. After his death, a person saw him in a dream and said, Allah tested you in the world, so you gained an abundance of blessings in the hereafter. The father replied, this is exactly what had happened. Subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, just as the outward pious appearance of parents has a positive impact on children, so does their righteous conduct. Subhanallah, if parents are pious Islamic scholars or muftis who act upon their knowledge, their fortunate children will also follow into their footsteps, inshallah azza wa jal, and live up to serve Islam. This is also the apparent outcome from the biography of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. The incidents of his father's life are lessons for those who want their children to follow the sunnah. If you become pious, offer salah, adopt a sunnah, raise your children in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and Hadith, and make them memorize the Quran and become scholars of Islam, then by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will see how they support you in old age and become a cause of honor for you until you die. And even after your death, inshallah Azza wa Jal, they will keep on making dua for you, subhanallah. This is the barakah of making an environment at home where the Islamic teachings are being propagated. We should teach our children about the pious predecessors and their sanctity, inshallah Azza wa Jal. In fact, we should actually take our children to visit their graves, and if the ulama and the awliya ikram who are living during the time, then we should take our children to visit them, be in their company, because if the pious people pray for them, their lives will change for the better, inshallah. So Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala, he himself says that how his father would take him to scholars when he was a child, and he was only 3 years old, and he took him to Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and also to visit a saint called Sheikh Muhammad, and they prayed for the blessings of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala. Perhaps his greatness is the dua and the blessings that they had bestowed upon this great Imam, subhanallah. Perhaps this greatness he had achieved because of the dua of such great people, subhanallah. Before the Imam's father passed away, he made will to several people for the upbringing of his son. And after that, Sheikh Kamaluddin bin Ibn Humam Ash-Shah al-Hanafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he arranged for the issuing of his proper upbringing and his studies at Madrasa Shaykhuniya, and paid special care to his education and upbringing, subhanallah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti learned from the great hadith masters of his time, subhanallah. Let's inshallah azza wa jal listen to a beautiful nasiha and pearl of wisdom by our brother and great mubaligh of Dawat Islami Maulana Naushad Attari hafizahullah, until we return and complete today's topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We all know that hirs is a bad thing. What is hirs? It means greed. Greed for more, greed for gain. But there's one type of greed that is good and encouraged. And that is the greed to do more good deeds. There's something else as well. It is mentioned in the summary of a blessed hadith that two greedy people are never satisfied. One, the seeker of knowledge, and the other, the seeker of the world. How do I classify myself? Stop looking at others. He's like this and she's like that. What about me? What category do I fit in? How do I classify myself as a seeker of knowledge or seeker of the world? That I want the glitz and the glamours of the world and I keep chasing that, and the more I chase it, the further it goes until I fall down into the grave. Or are you always thirsty to know more, to learn more? If every day of your life you learned one thing, no matter how insignificant it can be, imagine in a week how much you would have learned, in a month, in a year, 365 days. If you learned one little small thing every day, the best investment is to invest in yourself. Never ever stop developing yourself. Never ever stop seeking knowledge. Always be a talibul ilm, a seeker and student of knowledge, no matter what qualification you have, no matter how much of influence, always be open to learn. The cup which is full to the brim cannot be filled anymore. So consider yourself as an empty cup to be filled with more and more and more knowledge. In this lies our development, that there's always room for improvement. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers, subhanallah. You are watching the program Dimensions of Islamic Life, and we were discussing the biography of the great Imam Jalaluddin Asuyuti al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. We'll highlight some of his snippets of his biography, that he took this journey, undertook this journey to attain the knowledge of Islam, Quran and Hadith, subhanallah, and served Islam as a great scholar, subhanallah, and left a legacy for the later generations to follow. The Imam had a very strong memory, and he memorized the Holy Quran only at the age of 7 years, subhanallah. And he also committed to memory the large Arabic texts such as Umdatul Ahkam, Minhajul Bayzawi, Alfiya of Ibn Malik, and Minhaj of Imam An-Nawawi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhim. And he studied inheritance laws from Sheikh Shihabuddin, and he was an expert in various Islamic sciences and jurisprudence as well. He was granted permission to teach and issue legal verdicts at the age of 27, and he traveled to Syria, Arabia, Yemen, India, and Western lands to gain the knowledge of Islam, subhanallah. Such was his enthusiasm to learn the knowledge of Islam that he traveled to different countries, subhanallah, to attain the Islamic knowledge. And he learned from Sheikh Jalaluddin Al-Mahalli Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh twice a week for a year. And when the Sheikh Al-Mahalli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh had passed away, the Imam completed his unfinished commentary of the Holy Quran, which then became famously known as Tafsir Jalalain, subhanallah. Why? Because the one half was written by Imam Jalaluddin Mahalli Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and the other half was completed by Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh after the demise of his teacher Imam Jalaluddin Mahalli, subhanallah. Therefore, the name of the tafsir is Jalalain, which is studied in Dars-e-Nizami and during the Alim course across various different jamiat around the world, subhanallah. So this is one of the first works of tafsir that we as students of knowledge we learn, alhamdulillah. And this paves the way for our further studies into the tafsir of the Holy Quran. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that one day I mentioned to my teacher that I could not find a narration he cited in his book at the reference he had provided. Meaning, in the book, a reference was given where Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala wanted to trace back that reference to see whether this snippet of writing was actually found in the book that it was referenced to. Instead, he noticed that it was in another book, the same snippet of writing that he was tracing back. He found it in another book, and as soon as he mentioned this to his teacher, the Sheikh, he added the hashia and the marginal notes in his book at the position of the incorrect reference, without checking the reference that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala had provided. And must bear in mind that this is a student telling his teacher that this is what had happened when he wanted to trace back the reference. This increased his respect for him immensely, subhanallah. And he says that I considered myself lowly, and I pleaded that you could have awaited and verified the reference first, subhanallah. But this teacher had great confidence in his student Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala. This shows us the humility of the teacher and his manner of encouraging his intelligent students. This action of the teacher increased his respect and rank in the heart of his student. There is another point and lesson here, that even when you become a teacher and a great sheikh, the door of rectification never closes, subhanallah. And if someone corrects you, even your students, you should not feel ashamed. Humility only increases the honor, as it is evident in the actions of the teacher and the feelings of the imam in this incident, subhanallah. Pledging allegiance to an accomplished spiritual guide with correct beliefs is important in Islam. A guide who fulfills all the conditions of spiritual mentoring, and this has been practices of Muslims for centuries, subhanallah. It is a means of acquiring spiritual blessings, and Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala pledged allegiance to Sheikh Muhammad bin Umar al-Shazili rahmatullahi ta'ala, who hailed from the Shazili spiritual order. And along with his marvels in Islamic knowledge, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala possessed a lofty rank in piety. He remained absorbed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most of the time, and he performed tahajjud every day. And if he missed it, he became ill due to the grief over not having performed the tahajjud salah, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala would become ill due to the grief of missing tahajjud. And for his sake, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the passion to perform obligatory prayers as well as optional prayers such as tahajjud salah alongside our fard salah as well. And may we also never miss tahajjud salah. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen. As this great imam, he had deep passion and devotion to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Allah azza wa jal, even in the late parts of the night. Following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also something which he was an ardent follower of, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a great blessing to follow the footsteps and the examples of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his teachings. Our pious elders acted upon the sunnah and encouraged others to do the same. Not only did Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi do this, but he acted upon the sunnah people had abandoned. Yes, he revived the sunnah of wearing taisalan, a cloth which covers the head and shoulders in a particular manner. And he wrote a book regarding the same sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the forgotten sunnah. And he named the book Al-Ahadithul Hisan Fi Fadli Taylasan. And he encouraged his students to act upon it as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal reveal his mercy upon such an imam and teacher who had the passion of acting upon the sunnah and encouraging his students to do the same. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, when it comes to his knowledge of hadith, subhanallah, he was an expert in the field of hadith, and such an expert that he is known as Hafizul Hadith. And the minimum requirement for becoming Hafizul Hadith is to memorize at least 100,000 hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But here, this great imam, he did not only memorize 100,000 hadith, but twice as much. And he says in his own words that I have memorized 200,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I would have committed more to memory if I found more hadith, subhanallah. He says, I traveled to Makkah to perform Hajj and made this dua after drinking the water of Zamzam, that Ya Rab, grant me the rank of Sirajuddin Balqini rahimahullah ta'ala in fiqh and jurisprudence, and the rank of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala in the field of hadith. The acceptance of this dua can be gauged from these statements of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala. He says that I have mastered 7 sciences: Quranic tafsir, hadith, jurisprudence, Arabic syntax, semantics, expression, and rhetorical embellishment, subhanallah. If one has concrete sincerity, the dua made after drinking the Zamzam water is accepted in the court of Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared that the water of Zamzam is for whatever it is drunk, subhanallah. This is the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. Even the water that is associated with the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has such a great impact. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the water of Zamzam is for whatever it is drunk for. The water of Zamzam has so many healing properties, subhanallah, as well as it is effective for the acceptance of du'as, as it is in the case of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, subhanallah. Abu al-Fazl Imam Abdurrahman bin Abu Bakr al-Suyuti al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, had special proficiency in the field of hadith. And his books attest to this. Taqiyuddin al-Awjaqi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he tested the Imam by sending him hadith which changes to the name of narrators. He changed the names of the narrators and he sent him the hadith. The Imam explained the principles and ranks of the hadith and sent them back. Taqiyuddin Awjaqi rahimahullah ta'ala visited him, kissed his hand and said, by Allah, I did not think you knew any of this. Forgive me for what I did. Subhanallah. That was the deep expertise of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala in the field of hadith, and he was a great muhaddith of his time. Hazrat Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahullah was the most knowledgeable person of his era and time in the field of hadith as well, and it is in the principle of the hadith, subhanallah. Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Shazili rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates as how the Imam once said that, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while I was awake. He addressed me by saying, O Shaykh al-Hadith. And I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in response. Then I asked, will I enter paradise? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared, yes, you will. Then Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala asked, will I enter paradise without any punishment? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded that it is like this for you. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted him entry into paradise. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. May Allah azza wa jal grant us the membership of paradise through the glad tidings of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. And here the point to note here is that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself regarded Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala as Shaykh al-Hadith or Shaykh al-Sunnah, subhanallah. Why? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regards someone as Shaykh al-Hadith, Shaykh al-Hadith is a lofty term and title given to those who are expert in the field of Hadith. Even in the Jamiats today, the high-ranking scholars and the teachers that are there who teach Sahasita and especially Bukhari Sharif, this title is reserved for such individuals and we call them Shaykhul Hadith. And here the beloved Rasul himself, subhanallah, called Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala ali as Shaykhul Hadith. The Imam, he explained that he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream and he asked if he could read some of his books, some snippet from his book that he had compiled, which is entitled Jam'ul Jawami', subhanallah. So he was, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala compiled a book of hadith which he named Jam'ul Jawami', collection of collections, subhanallah, where he included all the 6 authentic collections of hadith, meaning Sahih Sitta, as well as 10 Masanid, Musnad books, subhanallah. And these books he compiled into one volume, one great volume, and that he named Jam'ul Jawami'. And he wanted to read a few ahadith from the to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to him, read it, ya Shaykh al-Hadith, read it. And Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, then read the hadith to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was bestowed with this title by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling me with this title was a glad tiding better than the world and everything that the world contains. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The great Imam publicized Allah's blessings upon him. And he says that there is no one in the East and West who possesses more knowledge about Hadith and Arabic than me. The only exceptions are Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, a Qutb, a great high-ranking wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a saint. Someone wrote a letter to Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala asking the Imam to commend him to the ruler. The Imam replied, my brother, up until now I have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 75 times whilst in the state of wakefulness. If I did not fear that meeting such rulers would deprive me of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would surely speak in your favor to them. I am a servant of hadith. I need to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding hadith which were classified weak by the researchers of hadith in order to correct them. Without doubt, this benefit is greater than the personal benefits you would receive. Subhanallah. In the gathering of great scholar Nur Muhammad Mahrawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the books of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala were mentioned, and the Imam said that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day in the state that he was wide awake. Subhanallah. After Fajr Salah, he did not go outside until he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some who experience this and there are others who reject these incidents without any valid reason. Abul Fadl Imam Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr As-Suyuti As-Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes regarding his teachers that the amount of people I learnt from, I listened to, those who gave me the ijazah and the permission and the sanad certificates, and those who taught me even one verse of poetry, these teachers, they amount to the number of 600, subhanAllah. There were 600 people from whom Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala learned from. And then he says, as for his special teachers who properly taught him, he says, such number of people who are his special sheikhs, they are 150, subhanAllah. He had many students as well. Hafiz al-Hadith Muhammad bin Yusuf al-Shami al-Salihi al-Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the author of the world-renowned work Subul al-Huda wal-Rashad, where he had compiled the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from more than 300 books that were previously written on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wanted to combine them and put the essence into one book. Subhanallah, this great Imam and the Muhaddis and Hafizul Hadith is the student of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. He was also among the students of the Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. In the year 867 Hijri, he was appointed to the role previously held by his father in Madrasa Shaykhuniya as fiqh teacher. And in the year 871, over time, his verdicts became widely famous in Arab and non-Arab lands, subhanallah. And he said to announce his blessings that were bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that only Allah knows the number of legal verdicts, Sharia verdicts that I have issued. I wrote separate books regarding issues scholars differ upon, which are over 50 in total. As for many verdicts that I have issued, they comprise three volumes of work currently, subhanAllah. In the year 872, he started teaching hadith in Jami Tuluni, where Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala once did the same, subhanAllah. This tradition had stopped for 20 years when Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala had passed away, but the Imam restarted the teachings of hadith and the madrasa of hadith after 20 years since its discontinuation after the demise of Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala, in his place, at the same place where he used to give the dars of hadith to the students. And in the year 877 Hijri, he became the head of hadith expert of Jamia Shaykhuniya, subhanAllah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala began writing books at the age of 17. And the first book he wrote was Sharhul Isti'adha wal Basmala. His teacher, Sheikh Alamuddin al-Balqini rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, liked it immensely and penned an endorsement for it as well. Most of his books became famous during his lifetime in Arab, in non-Arab regions as well, in Syria, Rome, India, Yemen, and Western lands as well, subhanAllah. One of his students had a dream to, and then related their dream to Sheikh Salih Muhibbuddin about it. The latter interpreted it and replied that the knowledge of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi will spread to the east and west before he dies. SubhanAllah, the Imam authored books swiftly, and his students, Shamsuddin rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, once said that I saw my teacher writing 3 pages a day. SubhanAllah, 3 pages a day, despite writing hadith and answering questions during the day as well. He would still write consecutively every day, 3 pages a day, and author his books in this manner, in this fashion, subhanAllah. Imam Abdullah Wahab al-Sharani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said that if he did not have any miracles, his lengthy books on important and intricate topics of faith attest to this rank and greatness, subhanAllah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said regarding 18 of his books to publicize the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, that according to my knowledge, nobody in the world has written books like these, and nobody in this age will be able to do so either. Subhanallah. 13 of his works, although he has written 600 books, inshallah, will briefly mention some of his works, 13 to be precise. He, subhanAllah, beautifully had written these books, and these are the world famous books of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala that are studied in Arab, in non-Arab regions as well, and they are regarded as one of the key references in regards to the field of subject that they discuss. The first book that we'll mention, inshallah, azza wa jal, it is related to the knowledge of the Holy Quran. If you want to know and find out the deep and intricate knowledge with regards to the Holy Quran, subhanAllah, it can be found in the world famous book of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, by the name of Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran, subhanAllah. This book is beautifully written, and if you see some books or some articles where there is information regarding the Holy Quran, you would most often stumble upon the references when you see the footnotes and the references and the citation. Most often you will find Al-Itqan being quoted in all those articles and books, subhanAllah. And Allah Azza wa Jal had granted him deep knowledge of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah. Another work on the Holy Quran, and now this work is with regards to the tafsir of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah, especially tafsir bil Masur. Tafsir of the Holy Quran by the hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam and by the aqwal of the Sahaba and Tabi'een. And this book and this tafsir that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala had written was a lengthy tafsir of the Holy Quran in 6 volumes, Ad-Durul Mansur fi Tafsir al-Ma'sur. And if you study this beautiful tafsir of the Holy Quran, you would really enjoy it because he mentions the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relation to each and every verse of the Holy Quran. Wherever he finds a suitable hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or a call of Sayyidul Ra'sul Mufassirin, Imam Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, or Imam Mujahid, who's the student of Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and other Mufassirin among the Sahaba ikram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Tabi'een of those Sahaba. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, if you find time, inshallah, do read these books and you will reap many benefits. Subhanallah. Another book that he wrote is a footnote on Tafsir Baydawi. Tafsir Baydawi is a great book, subhanallah, on the tafsir and the explanation and the commentary of the Holy Quran written by Qadi Baydawi rahmatullahi ta'ala, which he studied during the Dars-e-Nizami o Alim course rather. And you will find it of great importance, and to add it to your knowledge, inshallah, and we should include the hashiya and the footnotes of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, which he had written on the tafsir of Qadi Baydawi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Another beautiful work of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is the sharh of Muslim Sharif, Sahih Muslim, and the name of the book is Ad-Dibaj ala Sahih Muslim Ibn al-Hajjaj. So in this book, it can help you to unlock the secrets or the intricate meanings that are within the book of Sahih Muslim, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will help and aid you to understand the beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam better. Another book that he wrote was Mirqatu Sa'ud ila Sunan Abi Dawud, which is an explanation of the ahadith mentioned in Sunan Abi Dawud, and this book can also unlock the meanings and the secrets that often not understood by reading the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah it can help and aid you and add to your knowledge. He also had penned other shuruhat and the commentaries on the books of ahadith, such as the sharh of Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah, and he also wrote on the rijal and the narrators of the hadith, Tadribul Rawi fi Sharhi Taqrib al-Nawawi. He also wrote books with regards to the clarification of which ahadith are maudu, meaning fabrication of the ahadith, and with regards to that, he wrote a book, Al-La'al al-Masnu'a fi al-Ahadith al-Mawdu'a. And he also wrote a beautiful book, Sharhu Sudur bi Sharhi Hal al-Mawta wal-Qubur, where he has mentioned the situation of the deceased from the time of Sakarat right until the time of the Day of Judgment, inshallah Azza wa Jal, as per the guidance provided by Quran and Sunnah. And he has, mashallah, summed up all the beautiful narrations in this regard. Another book that he wrote was Fadlu Mautil Aulad, which is again dealing with the subject of death. Then he has written Khasaisu Yawmil Jumu'ah, the speciality of the Day of Jumu'ah, which is the chief of all days. He has written another great book about the prophetic medicine, subhanallah, that is At-Tibbun Nabawi. And the last but not the least, which we have compiled from the list, 13 books, and the book on number 13 is Akhbar al-Malaika, subhanallah. Akhbar al-Malaika is that book where he has mentioned the narrations and the ahadith about the Malaika, subhanallah. And this will help us learn more about this beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are the Malaika. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we have a limited time and now it is time to conclude. So yes, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was considered to be the Mujaddid and the reviver of the 9th century. And the scholars who have, subhanallah, praised him to be the reviver of the 9th century, they are Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala, Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala, and Allama Zafruddin rahmatullahi ta'ala, and the great pious predecessors, subhanallah. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi ta'ala was a mujaddid and a reviver, and he revived Islam through various different ways, subhanAllah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in his Mubarak hadith that upon every century, they will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint somebody from this ummah who will rectify and who will revive their deen for them. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us for their sake. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.